Your attention, please. The Santa Fe and Disneyland passenger train, the E.P. Ripley, now loading on track number one for a trip around Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land.
Welcome to Tales from the Mouse House, a podcast dedicated to the Disneyland Resort. We'll offer up some news and updates on the resort, give you ride reviews, some tips and tricks for resort guests, let you in on some of the secrets of the resort that we like to call hidden treasures, and even discuss some of our favorite places to eat at Downtown Disney, Disneyland, and California Adventure. Welcome to Episode 6 of Tales from the Mouse House for the week ending August 20th, 2010.
Wow, Episode 6.
Yep. Can't believe it. I mean, it almost seems like just 2 years ago we started Episode 1. All right, so maybe not 2 years ago. But right now, time kind of feels very strange for us. We had quite the day today. No comment? She's half asleep. All right. This episode almost didn't get recorded tonight. We had quite the interesting day. Probably about, I think it was probably about 3:30 or so this morning, I woke up and noticed something was a little off. And I think it was the lights. There was no power in the house. I got up and I went into the bathroom, flipped the light switch on and off a few times, and nothing. I mean, there was nothing there. So I went back and I woke up Joyce and I told her that the power was out. And you know, we've been having some issues with our irrigation system, and I just thought maybe maybe the drip system had popped the breaker. So I grabbed the flashlight and I started heading outside, and we live in a cul-de-sac, and we're towards the end of the cul-de-sac, and I looked over to the left and I could see our neighbor. She was outside and I could see her flashlight, and she was heading over to her power box too, and I decided to go over there and see if she knew what was going on. And as I'm walking down our driveway, I look over to my left and I could see the culprit. It was like a, you know, one of those dually Chevy pickup trucks, usually, you know, used for like construction work and stuff. It was sitting on our side yard on top of the power box. It had taken out the power box, took out the cable box, and there's a phone box over there. It was empty, of course, but it's sitting kind of like, you know, jacked up in the air. And I remember actually saying, well, this is unfortunate. So I'm walking over towards our neighbor, and she still hasn't seen the truck, so she doesn't know what's going on. How she could actually miss that truck, I have no idea, because it's huge. And she asked me if I knew what was happening, so I shined my flashlight over on the truck, and she goes, oh, that's why. I mean, it was crazy. We live about 25 miles north of Phoenix here in Arizona, and you know, you don't think of that kind of stuff happening here. And the cul-de-sac that we live in, there's this huge, you know, it's like a wash, right? I mean,
yeah. And we have like, so again, we live at the end of the cul-de-sac, and our neighbor that Al was referring to, she obviously lives on the other side. So we have like a block wall.
Right.
It gives us some privacy from the wash and the, you know, the common area, if you will. So this truck was probably like inches from our block wall. Yeah. So, you know, it's fortunate that they didn't come to the left, because if they would have veered to the left, they probably would have went through our house.
No, to the right.
Right. Well, it depends on which way you're facing.
Like I said, sleep deprivation. It was just crazy. I mean, we, of course, the truck was empty. And shortly after we had discovered it, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department, you know, they came out and...
Didn't realize there was that many sheriff in this little town.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 10 or 12 cruisers out there. But they quickly investigated the scene, and they said they, you know, unfortunately smelled and saw, actually, remnants of marijuana. You know, the wacky tabacky. And the one deputy mentioned to me that probably about 5 minutes after they got our call, they had gotten a call from somebody in the neighborhood who had reported their vehicle stolen. They said that they were assaulted and their truck was stolen. So he believes that, you know, it was probably some kids out for a joyride, that they really didn't steal their truck. They were just trying to cover their tracks. But very, very long story short, we were without power for quite a few hours today. Now, I don't know if anybody has been following the weather for this part of the country, but it got hot very, very quickly. I think by 9 o'clock this morning, it was like 106 already. So the power company came out. They got the box replaced. They got the power back on. The cable company apparently didn't even know that anything was wrong, because there was no disruption in the service. So how they managed to wipe out the box but leave the connections is beyond me. But, you know, I'm, you know, thank Mickey that they did. And so long, very long, boring story short, hopefully you didn't, you know, tune out and go start listening to Treks and Sci-Fi. But we got our power back on, so we're able to record tonight and hopefully get this up for you to listen to.
Yes, and we have this little puppy doggy, and she's been affected by it too.
And little Kate.
She just, poor little thing, just doesn't know what to think about.
Yeah.
Everything, because she doesn't deal well with change.
No, she's a snorky. And no, I don't have a speech impediment. I'm not saying sniffner. I said snorky. She's a miniature schnauzer and Yorkshire Terrier mix. Maybe a foot and a half long, if that, and about 10 pounds. And she's got the
attitude of
she's got the attitude of an 80-pound Rottweiler or something.
Yep, but she's our little doggie.
Yeah, she is. Okay, just wanted to talk briefly about the genesis of Tales from the Mouse House. I know some people that I know of, they were kind of curious as to, you know, how we got to doing a podcast. And I thought maybe now would be a good time to share with everybody how this whole thing started. As I'm sure everybody knows by now, that Joyce and I are huge Disneyland fans. We love Disneyland. We're annual pass holders. We do whatever we can to get there as often as we can. Well, about a year ago, we decided to start a blog. You know, we were just a monthly newsletter that we were going to send out to friends and family members, just about you know, how we feel about the park and what we've been doing at the park. And I wasn't very faithful in keeping up the writing. So the original blog was called Tales from the Mouse House, and as I mentioned before, I'm a loyal listener to a podcast called Treks and Sci-Fi, and I'll get into Rico's visit later. But I thought, why not? I mean, Rico makes sure that he lets everybody know that podcasting is for everybody. I mean, you don't have to be a professional radio announcer, or you know, have thousands and thousands of dollars in equipment. Anybody can do a podcast. So I approached Joyce and I said, hey, what do you think about doing a podcast about Disneyland? And there it was. Tales from the Mouse House was born.
It's a lot of fun, too.
It is. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Rico, if you listen to our last episode, we mentioned Rico Dosti, who is the host of Treks and Sci-Fi. He was going to join us for a Skype chat for this episode. He was going to talk to us about his visit to the Disneyland Resort when he was a kid. He used to live in Southern California. He's got some pretty neat memories of his visits to the park as a kid, and then I think his most recent visit was actually like 1998 or something like that. And, you know, we were going to talk to him, but his work schedule changed. He actually had to work some afternoon shifts, so he was unable to record a Skype show with us. But hopefully in the coming weeks, probably by the next audio podcast that we release, which should be, I believe, September 5th is when we're hoping to get the next one up, we'll have an interview chat with Rico. Some of the things, you know, I mean, I've listened to other podcasts about the Disneyland Resort and actually about Disney World. And I've heard podcasters say that if you don't go to the Disneyland Resort with kids, then you'll never really know what the resort has to offer. And you just can't fully enjoy and appreciate the resort. But you know what? I totally and completely disagree with that. I mean, Joyce and I are, you know, well, we're...
kids at heart.
Yeah, we're kids at heart. Let's just leave it at that. We're kids at heart. And I think we enjoy the resort just as much as little kids do. So I don't necessarily believe that you need to be with a family. You don't need to be with a whole group of people. You don't need to have little children with you in order to fully appreciate the park. I think that as long as you go into the park with that kid at heart mentality...
That's what you transform into.
Right, that's what you transform into.
Yeah, and I mean... like when, and I'll talk about this later in the show, but when I go to Disneyland, it's almost like the second I'm on Disneyland property, It's a whole new world. Hey, that's Aladdin. I didn't mean it to sound like that.
You are such a dork.
But it is. I mean, it seems like you just leave your world behind and...
that sounds like another Disney song.
I know. You just leave your world behind. Maybe I have Disney on the brain, but...
well, yeah, I wonder why you have Disney on the brain.
But, I mean, I sometimes when I get really stressed out, I think of Disneyland. And that's another part of the reason why we decided to do these podcasts, because, you know, it's our escape. And I used to listen to like a couple of different podcasts and stuff that were related to Disney.
Right.
When I get really stressed out at work or something. So, you know, that's just my little escape.
And well, yeah, I mean, you've heard the phrase, go to your happy place. No, but like, you know, whenever I, you know, go to the dentist or have blood drawn, you know, I'm not a big fan of needles, so I go to my happy place. And I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard that phrase before, but my happy place, and Joyce's, you know, probably the same way, our happy place is Disneyland. I mean, it is the happiest place on earth.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, well, we'll be there soon. I think 38 days and counting, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But who's really counting? I could actually give you the hours and the minutes, but I won't do that. Yeah, just 38 days, and we'll be at that Disneyland. We're going to visit the D23 Destination D Disneyland 55 event. That's going to be just wicked fun. I'm just looking so much forward to that. We got an email recently because we purchased tickets and we're D23 members. We got an email inviting us to pre-order, right? Some exclusive D23 merchandise?
Yeah, before, so that we could have it before the, I keep wanting to call it the expo, but it's not the expo.
It's not the full-on expo, no. It's an event.
Yeah, so that we can have it before Destination D. Not NBC's event. So, but I replied to them and it's been, I don't know, like 4 days, and I haven't heard anything back from them. And I did look for a phone number to call them, and they don't give you a phone number. You can only contact them through email. So I might have to send them a follow-up and what's going on. Yeah, but I'm sure they got a lot of requests.
Well, I'm sure they do, too. And that brings us to another topic. You know, we've entertained the idea of looking for, you know, maybe some sponsors for the show. And now I know a lot of people don't understand, and I didn't understand fully either until we started doing the podcast, but there are some costs involved in doing a podcast, and you know, that's fully on us. I mean, we accept that responsibility. We love doing it, and it's, you know, I don't mind spending a little bit of money, but if anybody knows of any company or anybody out there that might want to, you know, sponsor Tales from the Mouse House, let us know. You can contact us at talespodcast@cox.net. Okay, on our last show, Joyce and I were talking about being pin collectors. We love to buy the Disney, you know, the official Disney trading pins, and, you know, we're avid collectors. And I seem to recall that Joyce said that we each had something like 400 pins apiece. Is that what you said? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, 400. I actually counted mine yesterday.
Miscounted.
What?
You miscounted.
No, I did not miscount. I miscounted, and I'll put some pictures on the enhanced version of this podcast, but and also on our website. I personally have 180 pins. It's not 400.
Something. Yeah.
It's ballpark, you know, it's pretty close.
Yeah, I still think that you have more somewhere that you don't know about.
200 more?
Well,
I think I would know that.
All right. Well, to me, it seems like we have more than that.
Together, we probably have 400 pins.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, moving on.
On with the show.
I have been thinking about getting a Tinkerbell tattoo.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I was looking on the internet for this particular image because I know exactly what I want. And when I was researching it, I came across this website of this man who was a huge Disneyland fan.
Now,
I'm not just Disney. I mean, he's a huge Disney fan. I think he lives in Paris, but I'm not sure. But anyways, he got his first tattoo when he was like 18 years old, I think. He now has 1,933.
That's 1,933 tattoos.
Yeah, all Disney related.
Yeah.
So.
I've seen pictures of this guy, and it's impressive. I mean, you know, I'm not against tattoos. I think, you know, they're pretty cool. I have one myself. But
two.
I have two. But 1,900? I mean, that's... That's painful. Talk about needle aversion. Ugh.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's his passion. He loves Disney.
Yeah, hey, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for This Week in Disneyland.
On August 21st, 1995, the People Mover in Tomorrowland closed.
On August 26th, 1955, the Mickey Mouse Theater opens in Fantasyland.
And on August 26, 2003, Lucky the Dinosaur, the first audio animatronic figure to walk freely and interact with park guests, is introduced at DCA as a test and promptly became extinct.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
No, I haven't either.
Maybe that's why, because it wasn't very popular.
That's right.
Jelly Dude, stay tuned for Disneyland Resort News. My dad Crush totally loves this park. Hey, did you ever find Nemo?
This month marks the 41st anniversary of Disneyland's Haunted Mansion. This chillingly popular attraction has inspired an all-new feature-length movie by the Walt Disney Studios. And it's going to be directed by famed director Guillermo del Toro. He's the guy who directed both the Hellboy movies, Blade 2, and the upcoming Hobbit movie, which I am totally looking forward to. Now, this is going to be a 3D stab at the attraction turned into a movie. No details have been released yet on the actual storyline, but hopefully, and I'm saying hopefully, it'll be a bit better than the 2003 Eddie Murphy vehicle. I did like that movie, but, you know, let's just face it, it was a little bad.
Yeah, I liked it, but if I remember correctly, there was way too much screaming in it.
Mulholland Madness in DCA closes on October 12th, 2010, as demolition and construction begins for Goofy's Sky School, a coaster-style ride inspired by the 1940 cartoon short Goofy's Glider.
With the renovations to Paradise Pier, it's time to say goodbye to another ride at Disney's California Adventure, the Malibuers going bye-bye.
Boo.
This ride will be closing on September 6th of 2010, but I'm sure something new and exciting will take its place. And, you know, in my opinion, that's a really scary ride. So, I won't miss it, but Al did ride it once, and he really liked it.
Well, I did. I mean, it wasn't like, horrible. It goes so fast that you don't really have time to even realize that you left your stomach down on the ground.
It's no secret, and it's felt by everyone, including Disney. I'm talking about the economic problem facing the world. On August 3rd, 2010, Disney announced an increase to admission fees to all Disney theme parks. Effective August 5th, one-day park tickets increased to $76 from $72, and one-day park hopper tickets will now cost $101 instead of the $97. That's not really too bad for a complete day of Disney magic.
Nope, not at all.
Hi, this is Kenny.
And this is Jenny.
We're the hosts of Knights of the Guild, the official fan podcast for the award-winning web series, The Guild.
We're not like your typical fan podcasts.
Both Jenny and I have worked on several seasons of The Guild and take our listeners behind the scenes to share our fun and crazy times on set.
We also have exclusive interviews with cast, crew, and fans of The Guild.
We keep you up to date on general Guild news and the latest happenings of our cast and crew.
So please give us a listen on iTunes or at knightsoftheguild.com.
This episode, we're introducing a new segment that will highlight what we call magical memories.
Now, for us, magical memories are those special moments that you or maybe someone you know have experienced or even witnessed that exemplifies the Disney spirit of magic. And we'd like for you to send us your magical memories. And of course, with your permission, we'd love to share it with our audience.
Send your magical memories to talespodcast@cox.net or post a comment at talesfromthemousehouse.podbean.com.
And that's all one word, talesfromthemousehouse.podbean.com. Okay, for example, my first magical memory was my very first trip to the Disneyland Resort. I remember, and I think we've mentioned this on the show before, we were thinking of going to Hawaii that year. But, you know, airfares were outrageous and the hotel was outrageous. So Joyce talked me into spending some time at Disneyland. I had never been to Disneyland before, ever. We drove the whole way there. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be all right. It's, you know, I mean, it's an amusement park. You have no choice but to have at least a little bit of fun. And I really, really wasn't looking forward to it. Even up to the time that we checked into our room at the Grand Californian, which, by the way, is, you know, it's a great room. It's a great hotel. But even then, you know, I mean, I wasn't really all that excited.
And I was very excited and yeah. Couldn't really understand why.
Yeah, I couldn't understand why. I mean, like, okay, this is fun. All right, yeah, I like Mickey and he's okay. But as, and this could be commercial fodder. I'm telling you, this actually, the way I felt, I feel like I could write a commercial for Disneyland. As we walked through the ticket booth, you know, the ticket gate into the park, I swear I changed. The second we walked through onto the park premises, my eyes just went wide. I was like a little kid. I mean, it was unbelievable. I wanted to go everywhere. I mean, I was darting here, darting there. I was running around everywhere like a little kid. I remember thinking that this is fantastic. That's my magical memory. The first time I had ever been to Disneyland, it was just, it kind of sounds kind of corny, but I mean, it opened my heart to a whole new world. All right, there's that whole new world thing again. All right, now we're getting a little weird.
Disneyland is a wondrous world of magic, adventure, and fun. Every day, thousands of visitors pass through the gates, leaving their everyday world of worry and stress behind, transforming them once again into playful kids. But did you know that there are many, many hidden secrets living at the Disneyland Resort? Some are easy to discover, while others are hidden or easily overlooked. In this segment, we'd like to discuss what Joyce and I have come to call the hidden treasures of Disneyland.
A bit of Autopia automotive memorabilia can be found inside the Disneyland Hotel. In 2000, Disneyland replaced many of the cars in the Autopia attraction with the ones that are now enjoyed. But in true Disney fashion, they held on to a memory for all to see. Near the entrance to Goofy's Kitchen in the Disneyland Hotel, you can actually see one of the Corvette Stingray-style Autopia cars just waiting for your attention.
For quick entry into the park, take advantage of the monorail station in downtown Disney. The station is located near the Disneyland Hotel and drops you off in Tomorrowland. This is a more efficient way to enter the park quicker without the long waits. You'll be required to have your bags checked before entering the platform when you board the monorail, and I recommend that you arrive about 30 minutes before the park opens because other visitors will be waiting as well. And the monorail only holds approximately 135 passengers.
Yeah, so that hidden treasure is actually getting into the park early. And enjoying it before everybody else gets in there. Yeah, the horde of angry children.
And when and it lets you off right by Nemo, which I know the popularity of Nemo's kind of dwindled a little bit. Right. But that was one of the advantages when Nemo first opened.
Right, because you could get there early. Okay, for the Indiana Jones fans out there, this hidden treasure is just for you. And this is a twofer. You can actually find two original movie props in the queue area of Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye. As you leave the attraction, you know, you're exiting the underground area and you're back into the great outdoors. On the left is the mine car that was used in the Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom movie. And just past that, near the exit back into Adventureland, on the left-hand side, and you can't miss it, is the 2.5-ton Mercedes-Benz military truck that was used in the desert chase scene in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And, yeah, I have some photos that I'm going to put on of my daughter Amanda when we took her there in July. She was, you know, I mean, she's a typical kid. She was trying to climb into the truck. And in Indiana, yeah, Indiana Jones was in there. And he was pulling out his bullwhip. Yeah. Okay, I'm lying.
Yeah. Speaking of Amanda, tomorrow's her birthday. So just wanted to wish her a happy birthday. And,
happy birthday.
She's no longer a teenager.
No, she's going to be, I won't say how old, 20 years old. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. This is your birthday song. It isn't very long.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Okay,
moving on. This next hidden treasure is a great example of the Disney magic. When Walt designed Disney, he wanted everyone to leave all their cares at the gate and enjoy family fun time. Therefore, he did everything he could to make the outside world invisible, hence the tunnels at the entrance to Disneyland, and the berm, which is the train platform on Main Street. The tall trees and other berms keep the magic alive. In the famous words of Walt, "Here you leave today and enter tomorrow."
Yeah, and you know, it's neat, but we never even, when we first went to Disneyland, I mean, you notice something looks different, but we never really noticed the berm. Now, I you know, all right, maybe a little school lesson here, but a berm is like a raised area that blocks your view from something else. It was one of the tours that we took. Which was it? Walk in Walt's Footsteps. Yeah, Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour. They explained the berm, the whole concept of the berm. Like Joyce said, Walt wanted to build something so that when you walk in, you don't, you know, all your cares are completely gone. You don't think about the office. You don't think about, you know, anything but what's going on inside the park. This next hidden treasure is actually one of the lands in Disneyland. It's New Orleans Square. This place is absolutely amazing. When I was putting together my hidden treasures, I tried to narrow it down to one specific thing inside New Orleans Square, but I can't. I mean, I think for me, New Orleans Square is probably one of my favorite areas in the Disneyland Resort. It's just, there's something about it. It's beautiful. I mean, the architecture in that land is completely authentic. It's just fantastic. And the whole look and the whole feel about it is great. So do yourself a favor. Take some time on your next trip to Disneyland and just explore New Orleans Square. You won't be sorry.
Yeah, and there's an area that we discovered, I think it was like in 2008, 2009, I don't remember when it was, but it's called Angel Something, and I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's like a spiral.
Yeah, it's like a spiral staircase.
And it's just like out, you know, over, away from everything else.
It's kind of hidden, you know, it's a hidden treasure.
Yeah. But look for it. Just explore. It's really nice in that area.
And it's a great place to take pictures.
Hi, this is Rick.
And this is Amy.
And we are the co-hosts of...
Take Him With You.
The weekly podcast that's spiritual, not religious. And we have a great time every week talking about our geeky life.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on around our house and stuff like that. And then we, of course, always tackle some type of a big... what do you call it? Like main subject or main thing or something that provokes everyone to think about stuff, right?
Yeah, something like that. We have a good time talking and we have listener feedback. They ask questions and comment on our Facebook posts and our participate in our subjects.
Well, our whole goal for our podcast is to encourage people because we live in such a crazy world where life can get down real easy. So we try to be real positive and talk about the good things in life and try to put a little spiritual twist on things because we all need a little bit more faith in our lives.
Faith helps.
It does.
Yeah.
So when you are done listening to this wonderful podcast called Tales from the Mouse House, you can not only go from the happiest place on earth, but you can listen to one of the happiest podcasts on earth.
Yeah.
Take him with you.
Yeah.
Every week. Visit us at takehimwithyou.com. And thanks.
Now's the time for some ride reviews.
For this episode, we are going to do something a little bit different for our ride review. It's actually an attraction review. Joyce and I are both going to talk about... I can't remember. Okay. Let's do that again. Okay. For this episode, we're going to do something a little bit different in our ride reviews segment. Instead of doing a ride, we're actually going to review an attraction. We're going to review Disney's Aladdin, a musical spectacular. Inside California Adventure's Hollywood backlot, you'll find the Hyperion Theater. In this Broadway-style theater, you'll find one of the best attractions in the Disneyland Resort, and that's Disney's Aladdin, a musical spectacular. And spectacular it is. This show recreates many of the classic scenes from the 1992 animated Disney film. The show lasts about 45 minutes, but believe me, all 2,000 guests packing the beautifully themed theater don't seem to notice at all.
The show opened on January 16, 2003, and was slated to close this year to make preparations for Toy Story musical show. But due to very popular demands, Aladdin has extended their run for an unspecified amount of time. The plot of the Aladdin musical is much the same as the movie. Like the movie, Aladdin is tricked into climbing into the Cave of Wonders by Jafar and Iago to retrieve the magic lamp with Genie inside. Of course, just like the movie, something is accidentally touched and the cave closes in on Aladdin. At the urging of the carpet, he rubs the lamp and out pops Genie.
And in my humble opinion, which is really one of the two most important opinions in this room right now, the Genie is the show. Typically, the actor who portrays Genie is a great comedian with the most absolute greatest comedic timing.
I agree. And without going deep into the show, like the movie, Jafar wants to rule the world, Aladdin and Genie stop him, and they all live happily ever after.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't want to go too deep into the discussion about the Aladdin show for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think that you really, really should go see it. I mean, it's absolutely an amazing show. And the second reason is because on August 29th, we're going to release a video podcast, a special video podcast with part one of the Aladdin show. Part two will air on September 3rd in a special unscheduled video podcast.
Yeah, and just some little pointers if you are going to go see the show. Arrive early, because as Al mentioned, you know, there's like 2,000 people, and if each show fills up...
Oh, they fill up quickly.
So, just a couple different things. If you do book through like Disney Vacation or Costco Travel or something like that, they will give you a preferred...
Seating ticket, right?
Yeah. So definitely take advantage of that. You get to go in first, sit on the lower level. If you arrive late, you're going to have to sit in the balcony. And I don't want to like give anything away because I want you to be able to see the show and experience it. But if you sit on the balcony, it takes some of the magic
away. It does. I mean, there are certain things that you see sitting up there that you don't see when you're sitting down on the floor level. You know, like the trap doors and things like that. But I mean, it's still a good place to see the show. I recommend that, you know, if you have no choice and you get there late, that's fine to sit up there. But by all means, try to sit, you know, try to get there as early as you can so you can sit on the floor level. The last couple times we've seen the show, we've been lucky enough to be able to sit, you know, in the first, you know, two or three rows. But the last visit we went with Amanda, if you listen to our last episode, Amanda kind of flirted her first visitors button, and we got the special fast pass, and we were able to use it. We actually got to sit dead center in the front row, and oh my gosh, it was absolutely amazing.
It was amazing.
It was, a whole new world. Okay, that's enough.
That seems to be the theme for the show.
Nah.
In this segment, Al and I will review places to satisfy your hunger and put to rest those grumbellies so you can get back to the magic.
The Blue Bayou in New Orleans Square is actually situated inside the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction. Now, this restaurant is a sit-down, full-service restaurant, and it's quite the experience. It's not one of our favorite places to eat, but it's definitely one of the most fun. It's actually near the beginning of the ride, just after you board the boats, just before the first drop of the ride. This restaurant actually gives you the feel that you're in a bayou at a restaurant eating outside. There's Disney fireflies that float all around you. You can actually hear crickets and frogs. And if you look up, you can see the starry night sky. And if you get there at the right time, you can get a seat right by the edge of the water and you can watch the boats as they cruise on by. This restaurant opened on March 18th, 1967, and it originally featured live entertainment. The food is not bad. I wouldn't say it's my favorite. And the cuisine is, of course, mainly Cajun. And the dishes are like gumbo, jambalaya, seafood, chicken. And they even have a pretty decent steak. It's very pricey, though, with the average cost of a meal being about $28 per person, plus another $3 to $4 for drinks. When we went, I had the jambalaya and Joyce had the Buccaneer short ribs. And it was okay. Not the best that we've ever had, but it was definitely fun. The experience was better than the meal for us. Although we had a good time, I don't think we'll be rushing to visit again too soon. And on a scale of 1 to 4 hidden Mickeys, I give the Blue Bayou a 2, mainly for atmosphere.
And for my food review, I will be covering Ariel's Grotto. This restaurant is a character meet and greet experience, and upon entering the restaurant, the guests are sent down a spiral staircase to meet the princess and have a photo op. When Al and I dined there, we chose not to do the meet and greet, so they sent us to the elevator.
We were banished to the elevator.
And we had to let the downstairs hostess know that we had reservations, but chose to skip the photo op. So we were seated on the deck overlooking Paradise Pier. It was a nice view, but the only complaint I had was that the princesses visited our table like every 5 minutes, and they wanted to take pictures, and it interrupted our meal.
Well, they wanted to take pictures with us because they knew that in a couple of months, we would be the hosts of a worldwide phenomenon called Tales from the Mouse House. Right.
Okay. So we dined in the evening, and it was like a family-style meal. We had an antipasto tower, which included salami, marinated mozzarella, string cheese, Roma tomatoes, watermelon triangles, some chilled veggies with like ranch dip and pesto sauce, and jewels of the sea fruit gelatin.
Which was actually pretty cool. I mean, it was, was little fruit inside?
There was fruit inside the gelatin.
Yeah, it's shaped like little fish
like
and things.
Sea creatures and stuff.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. And then the next course was a salad of tender greens with Ariel's special house vinaigrette.
Yeah, better known as oil and vinegar.
It was good, though. And then it also included a bakery basket with some whole grain sourdough and spiral rolls.
Bread. I'm a big bread fan.
Not me. And then for our entree, we had tri-tips. They were very tender and yummy.
It was very good.
But as always, dessert was my favorite.
Yeah.
We had seahorse lava cake.
Not made with real seahorses.
Chocolate chip strips.
Made with real chocolate chips.
Yes. Cheesecake tarts with raspberries. And s'mores chocolate bites. And white chocolate. It was a white chocolate
conch shell. Yeah.
And it had fresh berries.
Yeah.
It was very good.
You know, I mean, it doesn't sound very appetizing when you think of chocolate and berries, but together they're actually pretty good.
Yes, it was very good. And you can request seconds if you wish, and anything you don't eat, they will package for you to go. The restaurant is pricey, and I believe it was like an 18% gratuity was
added to the
check. Right,
they add that directly in.
Mm-hmm. If you're an annual pass holder, you do get a discount, and they also have a kids' meal. On a scale of 1 to 5 Mickeys, with 5 being the highest, I give the dining experience 3 Mickeys. The view was amazing. It was before the World of Color. I think, actually, the World of Color was
they were just
under
building
construction.
It. Yeah.
So I'm sure the view is a lot better now because the bay was empty when we were there, I believe. But I
no, I don't think it was because, and I'll put some pictures up. If I remember correctly, we've got a couple pictures of us sitting.
Oh, it was Christmas time.
Yeah, it was Christmas time. So there was actually water in the bay because there was the reflection. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember watching Screamin' and and everything. It was a lot of fun. But I wonder if you can sit there and dine during the World of Color or if they close that off.
I don't know. They probably close it off because it's actually behind the World of Color, so you're not really going to see much.
Yeah, because it's like on the boardwalk.
So I have a bone to pick with you. Scale of 1 to 5 Mickeys?
Yeah.
You had to do 1 to 5?
Yeah, why?
Because mine is 1 to 4. Oh. You had to do one more than me?
I did.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
55, 5, so we have to be in the...
Well, what about 4? No. So should I change mine?
Yeah, because Disney is...
I'm not going to change mine. No, mine is 1 to 4 hidden Mickeys. Hidden Mickeys are better than regular Mickeys.
Yes. My restaurant was better, though.
It was, actually. Yeah, I liked Ariel's Grotto. It was actually I liked Ariel's Grotto much better than Blue Bayou.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Tips from the Mouse House.
My tip for this week's show is character viewing in right time in the right time kiosk.
Sounds like a Disney show, like on the Disney Channel?
Yeah. Aside from the park map that you can pick up at the entrance to the park, you can also visit the information kiosk located near the Plaza Inn at Disneyland and in Sunshine Plaza at Disney's California Adventure to get the inside scoop on character viewing locations and times. In addition to the character viewing info at Disneyland, you can also visit the kiosk to find out wait times for the rides at Disneyland. I'm not sure, but I think the Fast Pass times are also included. It's a great way to plan your time around dining reservations, parades, and other shows. And do you ever find yourself needing a break from all that walking? Well, take a break to people watch, enjoy the parade, and have a snack relaxing in a comfy chair on the porch at Main Street. Spaces are limited, and they're frequently occupied, but it's a nice way to spend some time relaxing and enjoying the park from a different perspective.
It is pretty cool.
We've actually never done it, though.
No, because usually when we get there, there's always somebody sitting in there.
Yes. Maybe in September we can do it.
We can try. Spend some time taking photos. This is a great way to remember your trip. Maybe if you're on an extended resort vacation like the one we have coming up in September, you can take it like half a day or so and go on what I call a photo safari. It's basically just, you know, taking your camera and just taking photos of whatever, you know, strikes your fancy. Just take photos that will help trigger a memory for you. This is really, like I said, it's a fantastic way to revisit your trip and have that magic all year long. And feel free to share your photos with us. We'll even post them on our website if you'd like. And along with taking lots and lots of photos, you might want to invest in a small pocket-sized tripod or even a monopod. Now, a monopod is, you know, it's like a tripod, but it's just got one leg. We have a monopod and we have one of those small pocket-sized tripods, and they've been priceless for us. When you don't want to lug a big tripod around with you, that little pocket-sized tripod is perfect. Just set your camera up on, you know, like on a trash can or something, and you can snap pictures of yourself. It's also a great way to steady your camcorder. I use the pocket-sized tripod on our HD video camera when I'm filming like Fantasmic or even the Aladdin show. It's a great way to make sure that you don't get that handshake.
You don't spend all those years playing Dungeons and Dragons and not learn a little something about courage. It's awesome.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela.
And we're the socially functional co-hosts of Anomaly,
the podcast with a unique perspective, a female perspective on all things geek.
Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings.
Buffy.
Firefly.
Gaming.
Books.
Costuming.
And general geek topics. The sometimes monthly,
but always entertaining,
Anomaly Podcast.
AnomalyPodcast.com.
Well, that's our show. That's all we have for episode 6. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening.
And just wanted to remind you, on August 29th, we're going to have a very special video podcast. It's going to be part one of the Aladdin show. It's pretty good stuff, if I must say so myself, and I must because nobody else will. We will air part two on September 3rd, 2010. And I just wanted to remind you all of our new segment, The Magical Memories. If you have a wonderful story that you want to share with us that you think epitomizes the Disney magical, well, memories, feel free to share it with us. You can send us an email at talespodcast@cox.net. You can also put a comment on our Podbean site at talesfromthemousehouse.podbean.com.
And on September 24th and 25th, Disneyland will be hosting Destination Disney. We will finally get to attend that. It's not quite the expo, but...
Well, for us, it'll be the expo because it's going to be pretty neat. And there's going to be a lot of great things at this event, and we will have a lot of photos and a lot of video to share with you.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. And then our upcoming shows will include reviews of Splash Mountain, The Interventions Dream Home, Captain EO.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to get an interview with the tattoo guy that I mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah, the guy with lots of Disney tattoos.
Yeah, I think he's got like 1,933.
Something like that.
And not sure how easy that's going to be because I don't really know a lot about him, but I think he lives in Paris. But that's what Skype's for, so yeah. Hopefully we can connect with him.
Yeah, and remember, we're on Skype. And speaking of tattoos, Joyce, we were talking about you wanting to get your Tinkerbell tattoo earlier, and I think that you've pretty much decided that you're going to go ahead and go through with it. So, you know, maybe we'll even document that. What do you think?
Yep, a week from, this coming Sunday,
right, which is the 22nd of August. Yeah, we'll take some pictures and maybe even a little bit of iPhone video magic, and we'll post that up for everybody. We won't put it on a video podcast, of course, but we'll put it on our website.
Yeah, hopefully it won't hurt too bad.
No, I don't think it will. I don't think it will. Speaking of videos, we'll also have some more video podcasts coming up too. We'll do some ride videos. We'll do some walking tours and things like that. If you have any ideas or suggestions for video podcasts, feel free to let us know about that too. Because odds are we probably have video covering just about whatever it is that you want to see at the Disneyland Resort. So, like I said, if you have any comments, suggestions for future shows, or if you just want to say, hey, how great Tales from the Mouse House is and how it's changed your life for the better, feel free to send us emails at talespodcast@cox.net, or you can post comments on our Podbean account. We are also part of the 20th century, and we now have a Twitter account, and I believe that's Tales Podcast at Twitter. And we're also developing a Facebook page. Joyce, have you finished developing that yet?
Well, I think so, but it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
Well, it is for, you know, 20-year-olds like Amanda.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Maybe we should have had Amanda set it up for us. But anyways.
Panda Bear.
I think I have it set up, but I really couldn't tell you what the username is. Right.
we'll get that posted on the Podbean account, and hopefully by the next audio show we'll have some more technical information for you. You can also leave us comments in iTunes, or you can now vote for us on PodcastAlley.com. This podcast, copyright 2010 by Blue Ocean Productions, all rights reserved. So, thanks for listening, and remember...
Have a magical day.
I really want to know. You got a list that's 3 miles long, no doubt. Well, all you got to do is rub like so. Hey-ho! Mr. Aladdin, sir, have a shot, 2 or 3. I'm on the job, you big nay, Bob. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend.
like me. Ha!